CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. It's Wednesday already.
Loosen up and get into this day.
I think I'm ready for a holiday. I haven't said this so far, but I could just do with a week. And we were actually talking yesterday in the office about like when everybody's going on leave. And we're going to work right up till the 24th. So if you're looking for someone to keep you company while you're working hard towards the end of the year, we'll be here till then. I mean, the day before Christmas. And then there's that week between Christmas and New Year where nobody really does anything. So, you know, you might have to put up with one or two repeats there, but we'll manage. And by the time you realize what's going on, it's New Year already.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Ah, oh, yes. All right. So it's just after 6 o'clock, Wednesday morning. I'm delighted to say this morning we are joined by Jonathan Witt, who is one of the co-hosts of the Renegade Report and somebody who's been a part of this family for a long time, and someone whose opinions I think this guy and I have so many interesting discussions and conversations, and I thought, you know what, it's time to bring those into the show rather than let them hover somewhere in WhatsApp land. And really, in some ways, WhatsApp is the only place where people can have real conversations anymore. Or in person, obviously, because going on social media, which is something he's not afraid to do, by the way, he's unbridled by all the pressures of the culture wars, and it's something I admire too, because there's so many people who will bend and buckle. I see Herman Mashaba this morning, or it was yesterday. Herman Mashaba is now acknowledging his privilege, which is the ultimate full circle for this guy. Herman Mashaba was, for a little while, South Africa's Donald Trump, in respect to the fact that he said, I made my money fair and square. Not only did I make my money against all odds during the apartheid era, and in a community where everything was rallied against me, the economy, the state of black business and the way it was repressed and oppressed by a government that just had no interest in black people doing anything for themselves. It sought to make, essentially, and this is why, again, like socialism makes absolutely no sense to me, because if anybody was trying to create a system of dependence of black people on a government, it was the apartheid-era government. They tried to create two parallel systems, and they wanted to make sure that black people were completely beholden to the state in every which way. And here's Herman Mashaba, who managed to get past all of that. He managed to build a successful business, and people criticize his products and they criticize his personality and all kinds of things. But this guy was undoubtedly a success. Mm. And having met him once or twice, I was very impressed with the man, and I thought, you know what, this guy could go into politics. And as much as I have my misgivings about the DA, I thought, here's a guy who really embodies much of what an independent thinker who believes in individual sovereignty might be able to achieve. Well, holy shit, has he come full circle.
Mm.
He was trying to pander to the left because he was obviously in a coalition government in Johannesburg with the EFF. And I think he's been totally subsumed into a world of political correctness and a world of the victimhood hierarchy, where now he considers himself to somehow have been a bad influence on the culture, where he's actually apologizing for his success and his privilege. It's just unbelievable.
After he wrote a book called The Capitalist Crusader.
I mean, yeah. Do you think that's a fair assessment of the guy?
Yeah.
He's gone 180 degrees.
It's inexplicable. We were actually talking about it and saying, why the heck is he behaving like this? I actually apologize because I said about a year ago he was the right person to take over the leadership of the DA.
I for a while believed that, and I'm willing to admit
and that he could totally challenge Cyril if he went to an election, but not based on what he's done now. He didn't buy into all this kind of race politics and
this identity politics is the last gasp of a very poor philosophy, and I'm afraid for Herman Mashaba he fell for it, and he's been pulled in.
Well, has he been pulled in? Is he playing a game? Where is he going after he's done with the mayor of Joburg? Is he coming back as the EFF candidate? Is he going to join Musi's party?
Which should also not be a thing, but...
Well, it's a democracy. Everyone, you know, let them all have parties. Who cares?
Canton was saying the other day on the Burning Platform, Canton Pillay, saying he thinks it's great if Musi launches a party, gives people more options. And I don't see a problem with that. Why would you restrict people's options? I don't think it has a huge chance of success, but, you know, if people are... Let's say a bunch of people in this country are uncomfortable with the DA and uncomfortable with the ANC. There should be a political home for them. There should be something which can speak to those people. And people who believe that Musi Maimane was treated unfairly and maybe that Herman Mashaba is someone worth looking up to still, then let those people have a home.
Yeah, well, Musi treated himself unfairly since he asked for an investigation, appointed the three people on the investigation who then found him guilty of wrongdoing amongst two other people. And the suggestion was that they resigned and he followed the recommendations of his own appointed committee. But, yeah, if people want to vote for that guy, then cool, let them go vote
go
for him.
For it.
I just don't think he's offering anything different. That was what was interesting about Mashaba, was he was offering something a little bit different. He was unapologetic for his views, which most politicians aren't these days.
Right.
If Twitter doesn't like your views, then you have to change within 12 hours.
Now, this is something I want to talk about.
That's a good summary.
How many followers have you got on Twitter? Because this is still a metric some people use to determine
20-odd thousand.
20-odd thousand. That makes you a fairly big influence, considering there are only like 3 or 4 million people on Twitter in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a substantial amount.
It's a fair number.
The fact is, like, you punch well above your weight in terms of causing shit on Twitter. And you get plenty of attention.
I try not to too much anymore. They try to cancel me so many times.
I wonder how many people follow you but don't follow. You know, they subscribe to your feed, but they don't actually click follow because they're terrified about what people will think of them if they follow someone like you.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of journalists who did and don't anymore, and quite big names. But I know they're paying attention because it's a DM occasionally. A phone call from one particularly large journalist and editor once upon a time when I said something they didn't like, and please, I mustn't say things like that about them.
You must have so many friends.
So, yeah. Interesting place, Twitter. But it's a sewer, like you've said many times before.
And some people are only waking up to that now. I mean, Tito Mboweni just a short while ago decided, fuck this, I'm out of here. And it took him a little while to realize this is not some fun place where people share recipes. It's actually all kinds of hell.
Share recipes.
Well, that's what he was doing for a while.
Yeah, he was doing a step-by-step cooking lesson.
A lot of us had that stage on Twitter where we thought, wow, this is a cool little chat group. So it wasn't that.
It was for a while.
Yeah. Gugu's here. Sia's here. Jonathan Witt's here. It's a Wednesday morning, cliffcentral.com. And Cookie saying, gosh, Leanne is sounding very hoarse this morning. Shame.
Oh, hello, Leanne.
Leanne's even worse than that.
A good Wednesday. Cliff Central is my number one podcast. Renegade Report is hot on their heels. Love you, Jonathan. Keep up the good channel. That's from Hugo this morning.
Hold on, Gareth. Have you heard from Gord?
No, but we discussed this already. You came in late.
Okay.
I'm discount Gord. Not as funny, probably not as fat. So
you're half good.
See, I knew it was going to take a turn for the worst.
I want to talk to to everybody about this story. A friend of mine, one of my best friends at high school, he's living in Australia now. He's a doctor. He called me up the other day.
What did he want?
Out of the blue. Well, he's a friend. Gugu, what do you think?
Wow, you're already so like...
What kind of a fucking question is that? What is wrong with you? Well, will you listen to what I'm saying instead of fucking jumping to some kind of cool conclusion? Geez.
Well, go ahead
Hold
then,
on.
Gareth.
What did humans
I'm going
do
to go
you?
Ahead. It's my show.
Fine then.
Jesus, let's just hold you on off until you're ready to say something.
Did you just switch off his microphone?
Yes. All right. Can you imagine? Well, What did he want? Tell me what the right answer to that question is. Stopping everything. Tell me what you think the right answer to your stupid question might be.
What did he want?
What is the answer to that question?
From you?
Yeah.
What
could you imagine your comment could add to what I'm about to say?
Anyway, continue, Gareth.
I don't think you've understood properly. I don't need permission to continue. Don't interject with something just to fill the time.
Okay, then.
All right, we'll start again. It's a friend of mine. Again,
oh, here we go. Guys, please.
It's a friend of mine calls me up. He lives in Brisbane in Australia. Now, he's a very successful guy. He smart as a button, not a bad-looking dude. He's same age as I am. He's had a number of very successful relationships. He calls me up out of the blue and says to me, you know, how are things going? So I said, no, good. I'm very happy. Work's been great. I'm having a good time. And, you know, not like a lot of people who've left South Africa didn't want to hear the bad news or, you know, talk about how terrible South Africa is or politics or any of that stuff, because we don't really talk about that kind of thing.
Okay.
Anyway, he says, it is so difficult to find an attractive, decent woman in Australia.
In Australia particularly?
Yeah, he said, well, he lives in Brisbane, and he said,
it's not a good gene pool.
No. He said this, just, and again, this is terrible stereotyping by him. I'm going to quote him directly. He said they're very coarse, very rough.
That is not a word you want to use to describe you.
Not if you're a woman. Well, if you're a man and you're coarse, you know, you might be the kind that could find some employ in the military. But if you're a woman and you're described as coarse, it's really just prostitution or...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just a horrible thing to be called. You know, it's rough. It's, and he said that none of them are refined. And maybe he's just in a bad area. I don't know. But he's a doctor. You'd think he'd be able to...
He's in Brisbane, though.
Yeah, but he'd be able to access at least one or two. And Australia's fairly cosmopolitan in terms of, you know, lots of immigrants and people from all over the world who go and live there and... You know, everyone in Australia is middle class.
You'd assume he's rolling in the right circles as well.
Well,
given his profession.
Right. And, you know, if you're a doctor, Dr. Witt. I mean, sometimes you meet a patient, and if you're a single man and she's a single woman, things might happen. It's to be frowned upon, for sure.
Quite carefully how you do that, but yes.
Does the stethoscope.
Especially as an anaesthetist.
Ooh.
Like a Bill Cosby moment going on there.
But it could happen, and I mean, you know.
And has happened.
Sure, and you're in contact with your...
Do you have any colleagues who've fallen... Do you have any colleagues who've fallen in love with their patients?
No, not that I can think of the top of my head, but I know of instances.
And doctors, a lot of doctors fall in love with doctors.
Yeah,
that happens
plenty,
a lot.
Yeah,
well, you have...
Don't spend time with anyone else.
So. Long hours on call, the stethoscope might linger a little too much on the chest.
That Grey's Anatomy thing is a load of shit. Nobody's right. Having sex in on-call rooms. That is disgusting. The stuff that lives in there is not
super
stuff you want to get naked with. Seriously.
That's my all vision right. Gone out the door.
So I felt sorry for him after this call because he told me this hideous story, and I think we might have hinted at another person I know who was about to fly to America to meet a guy that she knew on the internet. Anyway, this friend of mine said he had the most expensive coffee date ever because he got on a plane and flew to Vancouver from Australia. You know how far that is? But to meet a girl that he'd met on the internet, effectively. He flew all the way to Vancouver. That's a long flight. It's a lot of money. Even if you're flying on economy, that's a fortune. No. And he went there, arranged this date, met this girl for coffee, said immediately, no attraction.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So total waste of his time.
Went to a strip club because Vancouver's full of them.
Well, no. He said he had this very
compensation
very
prize.
Sad and dejected flight home. And look, subsequently, there's a good news story to this because he did manage to meet a very nice girl. She's like half Iranian or something.
Where? On the internet as well?
In Australia.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he sent me like a picture of her the other day, and she's very attractive, and he says he's very happy with her. And so that's worked out well. But my God, to have to fly, you know how thin the talent pool has to be for you to get on a plane and fly thousands of miles. Thousands. One of the longest distances. It's right across the Pacific Ocean. You know?
I think he could have just gone to like Sydney. It's far more cosmopolitan there.
And this guy, he's a doctor, and he's good looking, he's intelligent, and he's not past his prime at all.
Couldn't he just FaceTime the girl?
asses.
That's a lot. But it also, to me, something like that also just shows how simple we all are as humans. Because, like it or not, in some way, shape, or form, we all just want to belong, or we want companionship. And to think that, in some way, shape, or form. That's why I specifically said that. And for him to say, I'm going to take a chunk of time out of my schedule, fly honestly to the other side of the world with nothing guaranteed, but to sit across someone who I might have a connection with, that's a little...
I wouldn't use the word desperate, because I don't think he was desperate. I think he was just... really
taking
bored.
A chance.
Well, he was bored with what was available there.
Yeah, I mean, Aborigines, Gareth, like...
This is very close to racism, but go on.
Yeah, but have you seen them?
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, they're not the finest things on earth.
And he went there.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Your show, Gareth.
Ugh.
Does anyone disagree?
No, I'm going to just leave that there. Okay. I have no comment on this.
Which further... another point to that, though, is... One of my... Yeah, I'm moving past it.
Carl says, Gareth, you need to calm your tits. Gugu being chastised was funny, but that was cringeworthy. Carl, part of what I do is to make you cringe, Carl. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Can't say that to Carl. What's wrong with you?
Third strike for Gugu is a comment here from Frank. No, Gugu. He flew with his wings.
On a plane. He flew on a plane.
Oh, right. Okay.
You must be tired from flying all that way.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't say
that. Dad jokes for days.
Yeah, there's
if you don't have a child yet, you need to procreate immediately.
Here's Non Tobeko, who says, Gugu must shut up.
Oh, no.
Sorry, there you go. There's lots of opinions. All right.
Roll eyes.
Yeah, it's not just that one. There's also Adam, who says, Gugu needs to go and calm down in his booth for the day. So there's lots of comments pouring in for you, dude. But, all right. Anyway. Sia was on about something completely unrelated and different.
No, similar to that point, though, it speaks to this. One of my sister's guilty pleasures. Actually, Aus Jane is also obsessed with the show now. But
which show?
It's called 90 Days to Wed.
Oh, no.
It follows these couples who have...
It's one of the most embarrassing...
Yeah.
You watch it.
I really do find it desperate and sad.
To wed.
But yeah, 90 Days to Wed. It will follow these couples who have either met online, and not just conventionally online, but on these niched websites.
No, but it's all international, though. So it's people who meet other people. So it's Americans meeting people from all over the world online, and then they meet. They actually set up a meeting with cameras.
Do they meet in some neutral area?
No.
Or do they meet in America?
They start a conversation online first.
Oh boy.
On these niched websites like Russian woman seeking American man. Like, how more distinct could something be? And at the same time, wow, that's very romantic. Or we're talking green card access. Mm-hmm. And not one to judge, but you are seeing this blonde-haired, tall... busty woman who's now in love, in inverted commas, with this slumpy man who still lives with his mother. And the whole concept of the show is these couples finally meet when one will move to the States.
Maybe this friend of mine was on that show.
Maybe could. And the only way that they can get to live together is if they get married. So they have this 90-day period before they actually get married to decide if it will work or not.
And the show will then follow them through these.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so disappointing.
And you see all of those awkward moments.
But once they get married, the show deserts them, I assume.
Well, I haven't seen anyone get married.
Of course. Well, now there's a new series as well, because I think 90 days afterward. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Quite creative.
How soon can they like be throwing chairs at each other?
Dude. And you see it. You see the demise of the relationships. There's one particular couple, and I only know this because I was Jane Khan's on and on and on about it. There's the demise of one couple. Once the woman, I think she's from Europe somewhere, once the woman has made it to the States and they've officially gotten married, the woman just started cheating on this dude.
Jesus. Yeah, well, she's wanted the green card.
Oh, yeah.
At least the actually.
Citizenship.
There's a Nigerian dude on the show.
Yeah.
Well, this American woman, white woman, black Nigerian dude, And you can tell that he's not interested in her. He just wants to go to America.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like Eddie Murphy.
I think you have to live together for a certain period of time, though. I don't think you can. I don't think 90 days will cut it for immigration services.
Well, I'm amazed.
They'll arrest you and throw you out of Trump's America.
Probably. I'm amazed by what decisions, poor decisions, people will make when they think they're in love, and how the rest of society creates an exception for that. If you did this in your professional life, you made a terrible decision like that, people would, they would fire you, or they would uncouple from you in business terms. They would want nothing to do with you. If you did this in your family would probably disown you. If you made such an obviously blindly unreasonable, irrational mistake. But in love, we make a separate category.
Sure.
I mean, again, to go back to either of the examples that I've the one that I mentioned this morning or the one that I've spoken about previously, these are not unintelligent people. Yeah, these are people who I've known for a while. The one's a girl, the one's a guy, both willing to make the most appalling decisions that not only cost them money, but would, on the face of it, appear to be just completely counterproductive to a life they're trying to build for themselves. And yet, because they're in love, and they think they're in love.
Think they're in love, yeah.
Well, that's it, right? Yeah.
It's not even, no decisions are truly rational. This is, I mean, it's whether you believe in that, right? John hates it's rational
infatuation
mind.
And
no,
shit.
But explain, like, what do you mean here?
So it's what's rational is really subjective to.
Does Jonathan hate the professor?
Yeah, and so humans aren't rational beings in essence. Mm-hmm. We think we're rational.
Yeah.
We'll try amongst groups to say, well, we're rational because the group generally behaves in this way. Therefore, if I behave in that way, I'm rational.
Yeah.
But to any outsider to that group, what you're doing may be very irrational. So if you're a tribe in the South American jungle who eats people, it's very rational to eat people.
Yeah.
Until someone comes from the outside, like, what the hell are you people doing? This is not at all a way to behave. Love's an extreme example, but people do stupid things all the time based on – it's just what emotion triggers. You buy a car is based on emotion, right? It's not. There's nothing rational about buying a car,
enough.
For example. Unless you buy it for – if you're one of those people who's like, I bought my car to get from A to B. You know, like, fine, that's rational because that's what it's designed for. But, I mean, if you're that cold towards motor vehicles, you know, if you generally go and buy something you actually like that looks nice. You don't need it to look that nice. You don't need it to be that fast.
No.
Those are not rational decisions, but they're emotional decisions. And so a lot of what we do is based on emotion, and then we rationalize it afterwards.
Yeah.
I work hard, therefore I bought that car. I need to drive that car because of X or Y reason. That's the rational. But we're not actually really rational. It's a big debate about whether we are or aren't, and how we should function as humans as a result of that.
Oh yeah, hey,
guys, it's Black Friday. Speaking of this,
no, but it's so true.
Speaking of this, it's Black Friday this Friday. Yeah. You want to stay away from the shops on any given day. That's the one to stay away from.
And on the roads, Gareth, have you seen the roads on Black Friday?
Is it
during the day?
Really?
Oh, goodness.
So you mean a lot of people take off? I can never understand this. They take off work to go and spend money they don't have.
Or they start camping outside shops at like 10 o'clock. What, tonight?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Is there any product in the world that would make you camp outside a shop? Be honest. I will not judge you. I'm just curious.
Unless they're giving it away for free.
Like, what would make you, if they were giving it away for free, what would make you sit outside a shop and live outside a shop and pee in the shopping mall and wash your face in the shopping mall basin and
with other people, dude.
With other people, in a sleeping bag.
Maybe a supercar.
Maybe a car, and that's about the only thing, really.
What car? Like, give me the exact kind of car, because
that would make you need to get it as soon as it's available.
Well, it's got to be not something be rare to. That you don't get here. You know, like a special edition or something imported.
Honestly, I can't. To sleep on a shopping mall
on a stoop floor
in a sleeping bag. for a chance to buy something. Because you remember, it's a chance. Yeah, they're going to be other people. Yeah. And if it's free, they're going to be a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And we don't even do it properly. You've discussed this, I know. Yeah. But we really don't do it properly. I mean, in the States, people do this. They camp outside, and it's winter there, which is really like shit. So they camp outside these shops, and then they open at midnight on Black Friday. And they all sort of run into the shops and buy like flat screen TVs and all that stuff. But they are buying TVs for like that sold yesterday for $2,000 and today are like $200. So it sort of makes a little bit of sense, even though it's still
sort of
crazy.
Rational.
Yeah, you see, sort of rational.
Rational is the word of the day.
Then, but yeah, here it's like, well, the TV was 10 grand. Now it's like 9-8.
It's just nothing. It's not a saving. And it's probably a TV you don't need because the one that you've got, if you look at it, is probably good enough. I've had the same TV for 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years?
Wow. I have zero desire to replace the damn thing. It's
That's the job.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't understand. I see people. I remember a friend of mine. When we were at varsity, he made a lot of money immediately after varsity. He started practicing in law, and he bought one of those huge TVs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the time, it was quite something. It must have cost a fortune because TVs were much more expensive then for one of those big ones. And I remember when he was trying to sell it, no one wanted it. And he bought this enormous thing. It took up like the whole wall. And it was crap quality compared to the stuff that they were bringing out at the time he wanted to sell it because they'd improved the technology so much that this thing looked like it came off Noah's Ark.
Yeah, it probably still had that rear thing at the back.
It did. It did. It was terrible. I just thought, you know, this is not as bad as a car is as an investment.
Yeah.
A TV's got to be worse, right? Yeah. It's got to be worse.
Furniture is just about the worst thing you can possibly invest. Like, the worst thing. I once had a business and I went and bought like all this furniture and it cost a fortune. And a couple of years later, I sort of sold the business and then I had a whole bunch of the furniture left over because the person who bought the business didn't want it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. All this furniture, it was so expensive. I'll just kind of sell it for like 80% of the price I paid for it or something like that. And it was in good condition. Like 10, 20% of the price you paid for it.
No. 10%?
Seriously, like things are not, furniture is not very resellable. Very bad investments.
Oh, no.
Most of the shit we buy is a terrible investment.
Eid says online, Pornhub. The website also have Black Friday.
What do you get from there?
You probably get a special membership.
Sorry, I was going to be so crass. I'm like, is that a special category for the day? Is that what they're pushing?
All right, let's do a couple of headlines this morning for people who want to know what's going on in the world. According to the DA in Gauteng Tuesday, the Chwane Mayor, Stevens Mokgalapa, an MMC, rather, for Roads and Transport, Sheila Senkubuge, were innocent until proven guilty and had urged its members to reserve judgment until the investigation was concluded.
There's a recording.
Yeah, apparently.
Has anyone heard this recording yet?
Yeah. Except I just fast-forwarded through it because it's like, yeah.
Is it as juicy as I've probably built it up in my head?
It sounds like there's some squeaking of furniture and there's a little bit of noise. But it's not something I really wanted to listen to, so I kind of...
Is it even remotely sexy, or is it more along the lines of Gigabuzz?
I imagine this in your mind. It's a long clip. It must be 20 minutes long. There's a whole bunch of talking first about like politics.
All right.
So I fast forward.
There's nothing less sexy than politics if you're trying to chat someone up.
Could be foreplay for some people.
Yeah, you see, this is WhatsApp groups. But yeah, it's who cares? Like, firstly, there's a recording, so they are guilty. But secondly, who cares?
Well, it's always interesting to me that the media in this country, and this story comes from, EWN?
Yeah.
The media in this country are hell-bent on trying to show that the ANC, the EFF, and the DA are all equally awful. And as much as we all like to say that, because really none of these political parties represents, I think for a great many South Africans, anything like what they believe the world should look like, they are not equally bad. There's just no way you can equate the bad.
Look, I have to say, for a long time, they did not try to make the EFF look equally bad. They tried to make them look far better. I mean, the EFF was built on media.
Of course, and now that they're turning on them, because the media have suddenly realized that the EFF will not defend them. In fact, they'll attack them and threaten them at the drop of, you know, it's unbelievable how they've done an about turn there. But it is interesting. Like, the minute there's any bad stuff about the DA, the media jump to it like, ah, you see, the ANC may be horrible, but the DA is just as bad.
The only thing these two did was they had sex on like, taxpayer time, right? but other than that, I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
if it was their lunch hour, then cool. If that's what you want to do with your lunch hour...
Then we shouldn't even be caring at all.
I don't really have a problem. I mean, it's kind of like, cool, they're two consenting adults. As far as I know, they're not married, so there's no like kind of moral thing going on. But it's weird how they'll moralize this. You know, the media and other sort of analysts will kind of moralize and be like, oh, it's disgusting and it's unacceptable. But then they'll be super liberal on all kinds of other sort of sexual stuff and not see the hypocrisy in that.
Well, like I said at the beginning of this discussion, people sometimes fall in love in the workplace. It happens.
Oh.
Then the EFF in other news, Julius Malema, the leader, and they made a statement. Musa Novela is the candidate for the position of Joburg mayor. I don't know anything about this guy, anybody?
Haven't heard his name before, but best believe we'll hear more of it.
He is the regional chairperson of the EFF in Johannesburg. The council's expected to sit on Thursday and elect a new mayor following Herman Mashaba's resignation last month. The EFF said it was the most suitable party to govern in Joburg because of its experience in governance and understanding the inner workings of the state. Well, wouldn't it be interesting?
On point engineering.
Let's just see if the EFF can even run a city, and it's a big city, it's an important city, and if they don't completely ruin it, and let's see what they do from a fiscal point of view. So far, all we know about the EFF is that the leaders of that party are more than happy to loot poor people at VBS to the tune of millions.
And they love Gucci.
They love to drink, they love Gucci, they love wearing the finery, and they love living these lives of opulence, but they pretend to be egalitarian socialists in front of the cameras. So there's already a lot of hypocrisy, but let's see what happens. I mean, what have we got to lose? Herman Mashaba was pretty much behaving like the EFF have said they would behave anyway as mayor, making it all about using taxpayers' money to help people who were not taxpayers.
And that's not much better in Joburg. That's the problem. In fact, not much better. So it's not better.
The DA under Herman Mashaba in Johannesburg were disappointing, to say the least. So let's see. Maybe the EFF are a little bit better. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
You don't live in Joburg, though. So.
That's true.
I do. I don't know if I'm willing to give them the benefit.
I do pay taxes here in with a property that I own. So let's see what happens.
Fair enough.
In Cape Town, this story from ENCA this morning. It's not something anyone looks forward to, queuing for hours at Home Affairs, but they've told Parliament, that's Home Affairs, have told Parliament, their plans include longer operating hours and developing a monitoring tool to measure the average waiting time. Right. Some members of the Portfolio Committee have called on Cabinet to intervene urgently in the day-to-day running of Home Affairs offices around the country. They also want additional funding to be approved in order to employ more workers. So, Home Affairs are happy to be judged and to allow you to judge them via technology. Let's see what happens there, too.
Okay.
Can only welcome this stuff. I mean, who was it who was saying earlier this week that they welcome this technocratic stuff?
You're very generous this morning.
I'm feeling good.
What do you have to say about the doctor?
No, please. Who gives a shit what their waiting times are? Their waiting times should be nothing.
It should all be online.
It should all be online. The banks already do a far better job of issuing IDs. Why can't the banks just carry on doing all of that? Their security processes are far superior anyway. And I don't see so cool. I'll know my waiting time's going to be 90 minutes. I should never have to wait that long for a government document from a bunch of, you know, overpaid rent seekers.
There we go.
It's complete nonsense.
There we go. That's why we have Jonathan Witt on the show.
That down. Overpaid rent seekers.
That's a fairly accurate description. And then a story from Australia. Police in fire-ravaged Australia on Wednesday charged a volunteer firefighter with arson, alleging that he lit 7 blazes before returning to help colleagues extinguish them.
Isn't this twisted?
Oh, this always happens.
Trying to give them a job
really?
To do.
Does
yeah,
it always
it's
happen?
Common.
Really?
Very common.
It's a psychological problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they get like sexual pleasure from setting fires. Yeah. And other pleasure, I don't know. Yes. But,
and probably a bit of a hero complex.
Yeah.
Like you have to create the dragon.
Mm. And then slay the dragon.
And then slay the dragon to rescue the maiden. It's almost like there's got to be a term for this. There might already be some kind of syndrome.
Well, yeah, well, Munchausen is this as well.
That's more or less, yeah, that's this. What I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, make people sick and so then save him.
That's right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This happens a lot with people. And then there's also Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah.
When you make your children sick and then you get the...
Or a patient. So there was a nurse caught in the UK, I think, causing patients to go into cardiac arrest and then doing the resuscitation and saving some of them. And then being the hero because she saved the patient until they realized that there was an inordinate number of patients who had cardiac arrest around this nurse.
That is twisted.
Now, is that something that's... is that a rare condition? I wonder what the statistics are. I don't think anybody knows offhand, but it'd be interesting to know how many people. But this is an Australian firefighter, so his job is to put out fires. And
volunteer firefighter, that's always a warning sign.
Oh, really?
I started as a volunteer in the emergency services, so I feel like I can say this, but like initially when people get involved in those types of things, it's often not for the right reasons.
What are you trying to say about yourself then?
No, so when you start... And you're 18.
Suspicious.
When you start and you're 18, and you're like, oh, cool, I want to be like a paramedic or a firefighter. It's all about like being on the ambulance or the fire truck.
It's a bit of
and
drama.
And lights and sirens and being the guy who arrives and gets off the fire truck.
Getting
or
all
off
of
the
cars
ambulance.
To move past your way on the road.
It's that kind of thing. And if you do it for long enough, you realize, like, obviously that's not what it's about.
Mm,
and
sure.
You get over that adrenaline rush quite quickly.
You realize
but a lot of people... initially do it for that kind of reason.
You may be exactly right, because this guy's 19 years old.
Oh,
and they say he deliberately lit 7 fires on the far south coast of New South Wales, the state worst hit by a recent spate of devastating bushfires.
Wow.
That's between mid-October and late November. The man was allegedly seen sitting in a vehicle on Tuesday afternoon, shortly before a fire broke out nearby.
Munchausen is actually considered a mental illness,
officially.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of this
probably
before.
Probably on
the
DSM,
All right, those are the stories you need to know this morning, the 5 headlines we chose for you to pay attention to, and if you want to get some more, then we may just hit on some of those in the next hour. A couple of things happening. Janine Peters is popping by. Janine Peters is, and let me give you a little background here. According to the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor's report for South Africa, South Africa's entrepreneurial activity is at its highest since 2013, That's no doubt as a result of the fact that if you don't find work for yourself as an entrepreneur, you're not going to get it in corporate South Africa. In those times that it seems people are especially finding challenging to create work for themselves, the Global Entrepreneurship Week that we spoke about last week, we thought it would be fun to have Janine Peters, who's an entrepreneur and designer, come in to tell us her story. So she's going to pop in and we'll have a little chat with her as well. That's coming up a little later on. Jonathan Witt, I've been itching to talk to you a little bit about Donald Trump because we've had people with varying opinions over the last while. I still haven't figured out whether you are a major Trump fan or a minor Trump fan.
What would put me into which category?
Well,
minor or MAGA.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out. But also, there's such a disastrous show going on at the moment with these impeachment hearings, and I thought it would be interesting to have your opinion on this. Adam Schiff has done, I think, the Democratic Party in America a huge disservice by bringing up this impeachment hearing that they're having in Congress at the moment. Of course, it's going to go to trial in the Senate, which could
be... It might. They're thinking of dropping it now because it's polling so badly.
This is the point, right? And I was watching a clip last night in the news about how Vanity Fair have published an interesting article where they've been polling people on their interest in these hearings, particularly independent voters.
Mm.
And interest has dropped to, I mean, you could see it in the last Democratic debate, which only, I think, got 5 or 6 million viewers, whereas the debates that Donald Trump was a part of in 2016, those debates got like 24 million people on average.
Oh. Mm.
So it's a tiny fraction of the interest is waning in these candidates, first of all. The hearings, this whole impeachment thing, which started off as a big story, is petering out quite badly, and people are not ranking it, according to this Vanity Fair article. And Vanity Fair, by the way, a very left-wing publication. People are not as interested in impeachment as they were at the start of this, and they're starting to actually be put off by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to hit Democrats hard.
And put on to Trump, because they... You see, he's been screaming about the witch hunt for, well, since he was elected, right? Because Democrats have been screaming about impeachment since he was elected.
Right.
And first it started with the Russian collusion, which the Mueller report basically destroyed as a concept. And now we're on to the country next door to Russia. You know, they're just going to move through the Baltic states. I'm sure Trump has had a conversation with all the leaders there. So... And yeah,
By the way, Ukraine is the third most corrupt country in the world, according to the UN.
So Africa, where second?
I don't think we're even as bad as the Ukraine.
No, we're probably not. Yeah, look, it's there's a few things. One is that the Democratic Party is guilty of following Twitter here. There was a lot of sentiment, especially from the coasts. You know, people who live in LA, California, New York, Chicago, those kinds of places, were very pro impeachment, probably still are. If you just poll them, you're going to get good results. They want Donald Trump out of office.
Yeah.
But those are not the states the Democrats need to win. They've won those states already for the last 50 years. So they need to win states like Michigan. They need to win states like Wisconsin,
right?
And Pennsylvania. And the people who live in those states don't see this as a fair shake for Donald Trump. And so,
well, before impeachment, just correct me, because I'm not entirely sure of this, but the Republicans have not been able to call any witnesses.
No. So that,
and they haven't been able to present any kind of argument. They've only been able to ask the Democrats' witnesses questions.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The Democrats control Congress, and the Democrats control the Judicial Committee or Judiciary Committee, and they get to decide the rules for the impeachment hearing.
Okay.
So that's it's not a proper sort of due process. It's whatever they say it is.
But
it's interesting. Nancy Pelosi,
yes,
6 months ago said that impeachment.
She's the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, impeachment could not go ahead. The process should not go ahead unless they had bipartisan support for it. And then when they decided they were going to go with it, she abandoned that position completely because you know, the Democrats were very critical of what happened to Bill Clinton. And what the Republicans tried to do there, and that was on the Republicans in that instance.
Yeah, Ken Starr and the whole
So
Monica Lewinsky.
So the other thing is we still don't really know how this will play out, because what the Democrats are trying to aim for is their tactic against Trump in 2020 is that he's corrupt, and they're going to sell that as their main reason to elect their guy or woman. Is going to be elect our person because they're not corrupt. They're banking on Elizabeth Warren being their person. Elizabeth Warren is big on anti-corporate corruption, and that's sort of her thing. The only useful thing, arguably useful, that she's done in the Senate is she set up a sort of government entity that looks at sort of corporate
malfeasance.
Yeah, it's not a great thing, especially if you're a capitalist, because it violates the terms of sort of the social contract. But anyway, that's where they're going to pitch it. So we still don't know how it'll play out, but at the moment, very badly. And in fact, before impeachment started, Trump would have lost to every current Democrat presidential nominee polling above 5%. Except, I think, against Bernie. I think he was the only one he would have won against. And now it looks like he'll win against every single one of them.
And that, look, polling we know from the 2016
And it's early.
Yeah, sure. But polling we also know is completely here or there, depending on how seriously you take the poll or how it's done, because none of these polls predicted the 2016 election results anyway. But it's an interesting gauge on public opinion. What's interesting, too, is... what happens if this does go to the Senate?
Yeah. So if it goes to the Senate, it goes horribly for Democrats. Horribly. Because when it goes to the Senate, it becomes a trial. Then there's due process. And then both sides can call witnesses. And then you've got the Republicans calling both Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and asking them things like, why is it, Hunter, that as someone with no knowledge and experience, you were appointed as a board member on an oil company, an oil and gas company.
Isn't from like the Ukraine or something?
For a total of $30 million that you earned or whatever it was. Yeah. And what's the story with $1.5 billion that your family took from China? What's going on with that? And once you're under oath in front of the Senate, that becomes very uncomfortable. That also would have to then call Adam Schiff and ask him, you know, tell us about this whistleblower and how did the process work out? And if it may very well work out that they set up Trump and that it wasn't actually a whistleblower, it was a planned, as some are saying, coup.
I've never thought about that, but it marvels me still to this day how ruthless American politics can be. Because just this week, I was.
Politics, not
in general, actually. Just this week, I was reading up on new allegations that have come out against Hunter Biden. There was this strip club that is now speaking out. Clearly, strip club has no business in speaking out. Clearly, someone somewhere is behind encouraging
me. I don't know. Hunter Biden was thrown out of the military for failing his drug test because he was high on cocaine.
Well, yeah, and he's admitted he's been to rehab a couple of times.
Joe Biden discovered just a short while ago that he's a grandfather of a child that
what
he didn't know Hunter had had with some woman
who Hunter refused to give a paternity test.
Yes.
And then was forced by a court.
So this Hunter Biden is by no means
he's a piece of work.
A good character. And as much as I don't like Donald Trump's two sons, you could say whatever you like about them, and probably the worst thing you could say about them is that they're trophy hunters. In terms of coming to Africa and killing animals for sport, and that they're spoiled little brats whose dad is a billionaire, and they've always been that, and they've really not achieved terribly much on their own. But you've got to reserve amount of dislike for Hunter Biden.
Having a child you didn't acknowledge.
Yeah, and also is just receiving money that he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He certainly didn't earn by his merits.
And then now, according to this new strip club speaking out, it's called Archibald's, which is, by the way, a couple of blocks away from the White House, quite conveniently. They're saying that Hunter would come into the club a couple of times. He would book out a VIP room.
Yeah.
And they say that they would smell a smell very similar to styrofoam. And druggies say that that's very similar to the smell of crack. It's not even like a classy drug. So it goes up to strip clubs.
I'm not going to say that everybody who goes to strip clubs it's necessarily an indication of poor character. But
Trump's not wrong when he talks about the swamp. He may very well be part of it if you're anti-Trump, and certainly it looks like that when he appoints his whole family in his administration.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that the other guys aren't part of the swamp as well.
Sure.
And all of these politicians, it's the same. Rotten. Crap.
All right, I want to talk about something. Gugu, please bring the cushion from the chair that you usually sit on.
My cushion?
Is it your cushion?
Yes, it's my cushion.
You brought it here.
I use it and I bought it here, of course.
It's yours. I just want you to bring it here quickly and show Jonathan. And he must tell us whether or not that is a pile cushion. Cushion for people who have piles. Just fetch it first. Just fetch it first because we've got to talk about this.
Oh, no. Do we have to talk about this?
Fetching the cushion.
From politics and the sublime to the ridiculous. Yeah,
that would work well,
Jonathan,
for pals.
Do you know what a donut cushion is and what it's for? You're a smart guy.
Go on.
That is.
Does he have to hold it himself, or can he? I'm just speaking
I'm
on his behalf.
Do me a favor, Sia. You describe it as best you can, so that we can let the audience know what we're talking about here as an object.
Yeah, I think by describing it as a spine cushion, you're apt, Google.
It says spinal line.
Well, I've never got that close to it, and please, I value my face, so please don't bring it up to my face either.
But hold on. It's shaped like a donut.
Well, I mean, I could write many things on many things, Google, and it doesn't make them that, so seriously.
It's shaped like a donut, and it's hollow in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course it's...
You bought this.
Yeah, I bought this, yes.
Do you have spinal? Do you have spinal problems?
I had an accident, Gareth.
Right. Shame. On your motorbike?
On a bike.
So did you damage your spine?
No, you don't get shame for having...
I was doing a wheelie, as one does.
You see. No shame.
Go on.
And then I fell and landed on my coccyx.
And that is a very painful thing. And your coccyx, obviously...
It's the worst.
You know, that's at the very tip, the end of your spine.
Yeah.
People who damage that, obviously sitting down is very uncomfortable. But it is, I think... Also, the kind of cushion.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct
I agree.
Me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That people who have hemorrhoids, piles.
Any butthole pain or base of spine pain, I would definitely prescribe that.
Have
cushion.
You guys had football pain?
I actually have also fractured my coccyx, so yes, I sat on a cushion very similar.
Thanks,
to that.
Jonathan.
But
it is a pile cushion.
You could do, I think that's perfect.
I've never had piles, so I wouldn't know, Gareth. Maybe,
well, they're coming
maybe
for you.
You could school me. I don't
someone
know.
Else,
it's a matter of time. Really.
Someone else in the office who has had piles recently, she came in.
There has to be patient confidentiality.
We've got to talk about this, Gareth. We've got to talk about this.
As an advisory member of the unofficial Cliff Central HR board, I'll stand up for this.
I'm going to say that this person announced to everyone that they had piles.
And those who didn't know, you announced to them.
Yes.
Because you were...
Gareth told me.
As you walked into Cliff Central offices.
We need your
cushion.
We need your cushion.
Dr. Witt, let me explain to you what happened.
Put it on the notice board.
Gareth was in his office, which is on one side of the building. This poor soul was on the other side of the building. And Gareth shouts down the corridor, "Hey, person! How are your piles?"
It's great.
So everyone in between, I didn't even know this person was suffering from piles, but now I knew.
So I thought, you know what? Let's do something nice here. Gugu's not using his pile cushion.
This is when I found out about it.
Let's lend it to this person. And I said to Gugu, "Can we borrow your pile cushion?" And he got incensed. He said, "This is not a pile cushion." And I said to him, "Yes, it absolutely is."
Yeah, yeah. I think it would work for that.
Yeah. So I think that we've sorted that out. Even if you don't use it for piles, it is a pile cushion.
She refused. I don't know why, though. I'll be fine. My football will be fine.
Is your coccyx still sore? How long ago was this injury?
Probably early last year sometime. It's not sore anymore, but if I sit for too long, which obviously I do in the office, then I need the cushion. Or if I'm driving long distance.
Mm-hmm. Let's give you a compliment here, because you're not enormous. And according to this message here, this is probably the same sort of problem from Pabalu, mm-hmm. who says, "Gugu, take pride in your donut cushion. Uh-huh. I do not have enough ass meat to sit at a desk for longer than 2 hours either."
Wow.
So maybe that's a good...
Maybe she uses one as well.
Yeah, you're not overweight. You don't have a huge amount of ass meat, like Pabalu says.
Look at that, Gugu. You aren't alone.
Yeah, it's good to know. Thanks, Pabalu.
We briefly referred to this on Monday, and Gugu and I are both of the opinion that Elon Musk's new Cybertruck is the most revolting,
hideous-looking
thing.
Man, it's disgusting. But you know, it's amazing how the diehard Tesla people will not...
This.
It's $100 to place an order, and it's refundable. Mm-hmm. And like, who cares? Like, if you're an American and you're a big Tesla fan, then you're already in a certain market group, and $100 is nothing, which is refundable anyway. So, and that the thing that they introduced is not possibly going to be on the road anyway, because there's a whole bunch of things they have to do to it. Like, you have to have mirrors in the United States.
Mm. Yeah.
So. They've got to put mirrors on there. I don't think that's going to pass many crash tests, because you know you have to have pedestrian safety now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the wedge shape of the front of that truck is basically going to slice people in half. And then if you actually look at the sort of statistics of what the truck offers and the price, it's not a very good deal if you compare it to what you can buy in the US in terms of trucks at that level. And remember, people who buy trucks in the US are not just buying them to show off.
Yeah.
They're usually buying them as utility vehicles as well. So,
and this thing's totally impractical for those
purposes. Oh, it's nasty.
Well, the other thing I don't get is he made it look like a DeLorean. It's yeah. stainless steel.
Well, someone sent me a picture of that machine that those little creatures in Star Wars used. That thing that looks like a ship with wheels.
Yes.
It's the most ungainly thing you've ever seen. It yeah. looks a little bit like yeah. that.
I think Elon gets a bit high on his own PR sometimes,
for sure.
And I also don't buy the numbers that have been released so far, because he tweeted them as well. I think he said like there have been more than 100,000 orders or something. Mm. Even if it is $100 and it's refundable, I highly, highly doubt that.
I think a lot of people hop on board and they wouldn't have cared what this thing looked like.
Yeah.
And he says Elon Musk has come out and said he did it for the memes.
The beginning of a cult. Oh, really? No, that's a lie. He's that's backtracking now.
He's also said that it's similar to a warthog from Halo. I think the game is Halo.
From Halo.
Yeah. So there's a specific vehicle. I think it's in Halo. Yeah. I might be wrong. The game isn't going to yeah. get very upset.
Oh, he's backtracking so much.
But it's one of those gamer vehicles. And he said, yeah, we confirm it was designed to look similar. So.
All right, I want to just quickly, because we've got Jonathan Witt here, we'll maybe get to this just after the next part two starts. Talk to him about New Year and Christmas, because he's been a doctor over that period for how many years now?
Ooh,
You volunteered, and yeah. you actually ended up on shifts for New Year's Eve.
The things you see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about that just now. Hang around for that and a whole lot more. We've got a guest popping by. Her name is Janine Peters. She's going to join us for a little bit of a discussion around entrepreneurship, and she's a designer and a business startup person too. So we're going to find out about her story. Lots more to come. It is Wednesday, cliffcentral.com on the 27th of November.
Cliffcentral.com.